Sunday night. God has been visiting us in a special way. He continues to manifest himself, whether it's through healing, laying on of hands, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, whether it's the preaching of the word, salvation of souls. He continues to move in our midst. Last Wednesday, the glory came down. Sunday, the power of God manifests early. In the evening service, evening glory, he brought us to a holy hush where we just sat quietly before the Lord. And then he began to speak and he began to release words. One of them, Sister Julie, had spoke out of Psalms 81, verse 10. Open up your mouth wide, and I'll fill it with good things. That was for the body. And when God gives a word, he expects us to respond. And as we continued, there were other words that came forth, but there was a vision that was revealed, and we found out about it a day later. And I believe that the vision was of the Lord, and I believe that the vision was dealing with where we are right now. God has shown Sister Tracy a vision while we were here. And in the vision, she saw a bridge similar to the Golden Gate, but not the same color. And in the midst of the bridge, there was like this opal-shaped, like, I'll just call it object, but it had diamonds in it. And on one side of the bridge, you had people standing facing people on the other side of the bridge. And then underneath the bridge, you had a harvest field, a wheat field underneath the bridge. How many of you know you don't just build bridges over wheat fields? Amen. You build bridges over water. People who have money to waste build it over, you know, wheat fields. But that was the vision. And so when Pastor Lucia had shared it with me, there was a natural, not illustration, but a natural explanation. But I share it with her that I believe it was deeper than just the natural, because that morning I had, Monday morning, I had been listening to, and I don't always promote, you know, people's different visions and things like that, but I had been listening to this tape, and in this, it wasn't a tape, it was a podcast, and it was regarding a woman who I regard as anointed and operates in the prophetic ministry. Her name is Jennifer LeClaire. She's one of the editors for Charisma Magazine. And so she had a conversation with this individual and some others as well, and I was listening to the podcast, and there was a certain part of it that was like, man, that's kind of like, you know, strange or different. But in the podcast, they were talking about Indians, Native Americans. And so they started in this conversation, and then all of a sudden they played a recording of Billy Graham that they had said was recorded like in October. And it sounded like, I'm not certain if it was recent or if it was a while back, but it sounded like Billy Graham in the old days. Maybe many of you never heard Billy Graham in the older days when he was preaching the gospel, but he was an evangelist. I mean, he preached the gospel with power. And so this is what he said. There are doubtless Indians in this audience who could shake America and the world for God if you could only get the vision of what Jesus Christ could do for you. And so I don't know what audience it was. I don't know how many were there. I just know that he spoke that. And so in Sister Tracy's vision that she saw, on the one side you had pilgrims, and they're looking over here, and on the other side you had Indians. And so they weren't moving or anything, but in the middle you had this oval with this like diamond-like. And then beneath you had wheat. And so this is what I shared with Pastor Lucia, and I believe you shared it with Sister Tracy. Amen. I said, I don't believe it was related to the conversation with the individual. I believe it is related to what's happening now in America and the election. I just heard this morning a clip from Jennifer LeClaire where Billy Graham was quoted as saying, and I just quoted it to you, but I'll read it again. There are doubtless Indians in this audience who could shake America and the world for God if you could only get the vision of what Jesus Christ could do for you. I don't believe that word is just limited to the Indians, but I believe it was divinely spoken to them. I believe God is saying the same thing to us as well, that we can shake America. And if I kid you not, it's not like I'm all about, you know, happy and glee because the person that I voted for won the election. It has nothing to do with that. But it's like there was a lot of prayers and intercessions from Israel. And Pastor Lucia was sharing with me, Nigerian churches or pastors were praying and interceding. People were praying all over this nation because they knew what was at risk. People are fed up with the direction that this nation has been going and shoving down the throat political correctness, carrying out an agenda that, you know, the average Christian who knows their word should be grieved in their spirit. And the thing about us, I said it Sunday, it's like a double blessing. What's the double blessing? One, we can always pray about a matter. And that is our greatest offensive weapon in coming against the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in the sons of disobedience, prayer. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much, Amplified says, makes tremendous power available to the church of the living God. And so that is an asset in our armor, if you will, our artillery that we must exercise. But we have another avenue, and that is to vote. Exercise your right, exercise your duty, do your responsibility, and vote. If there is nothing barring you from that, then go out and vote. If you're too lazy to get up and go to the election place to vote, then register for absentee ballot. Early voting by absentee ballot, if you will. But don't, it's one thing if you can't. What do I mean by you can't? In other words, you're not qualified to. But if you are qualified to vote as a citizen of the United States of America, exercise that. It matters. They found that out yesterday. It matters a lot. They were blown away by what was happening. So much so that they started delaying it towards the end. And it's like it's already evident. What are you waiting for? And then finally, about 12:30, they went ahead and said it. After the other party had went home and told their people to go home, saying there's going to be some more counting tonight or this morning. Go get some sleep and go vote. Or no, not go vote, but go get some sleep and you'll hear from us tomorrow. They delayed it and then finally they said, we have a new president-elect. And they said, President Donald J. Trump. We have the privilege, we have the duty, we have the responsibility to exercise our right to vote. I don't think churches ought to be getting involved in politics. See, you don't know your church history. The preachers in the pulpit had more influence than the politicians that were running for office. We gave it up because we became cowards, if you will, and started backing off and saying we shouldn't have any say-so, or somebody would come and threaten us and say something, and we backed down. Can't back down no more. And so we vote, we pray, and we trust God to move. And so people all over the nation, churches, if you will, pastors, if you will, were praying that God would move in order to turn this nation back to where it belongs. And the only way that was going to happen, because we only had two choices, valid choices. There were four candidates that were running for office. But there were only two that were valid. The other two, no way could they get enough votes to become the next president of the United States of America. So you only had two options. You already knew the direction one option was going in because they're following behind one who's of the same spirit and has that same vision. And in promoting change, it's like, what are you going to change from? You're going to follow the same thing and going to be worse. And so we had a choice. And they did everything they could to try and make people afraid. He's dangerous. He's a demagogue. He's a racist. And anybody that would vote for him is a racist. That's that mindset, that agenda. You ridicule your opponent. You embarrass them. You say all sorts of negative things to tear them down before people. They call it the Saul Alinsky doctrine, if you will. And they've been using it in order to stay in power. And so wickedness started getting more bold and confident in their wickedness. And they just started doing stuff, and it's like, they don't care. Nobody gonna do anything to them. And we see anarchy all over the place. The wicked became more and more bold. And now they're licking their wounds because their person did not get elected. The church has to rise up. We need to seize this opportunity that we have. I believe this is an open door, a window for the church to really come forth and fulfill God's call upon our lives. Take advantage of this moment because you don't know what the wicked will try and do next. But if Trump wasn't righteous enough for you, he certainly chose an excellent choice as a vice president in Mike Pence, who boldly declares, I'm a Christian first. And then when he says, I'm a Republican, or I'm a Christian first, I'm a conservative second, and I'm a Republican third, something like that. And he's like, in that order. We need people in power who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have a lifestyle to testify to the words that they speak. So with that being said, we have to, you know, exercise our right, take our stand, be the church, hallelujah. Let's quit fighting each other, fight the real enemy, amen, hallelujah. Y'all don't know, Pastor Lucia and I have been dealing with attacks and things going on all week, but we still get back in this pulpit and preach like there is no tomorrow. Hallelujah. We, you know, we We deal with all kind of stuff that comes against us, and we're not bothering anybody. We're just trying to do the will of God. And, you know, stuff been happening, going crazy, but it's like malto meal. Some of y'all are probably too young. Get on the malto meal mobile. It's like Popeye's spinach. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. It's time to run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. We wait on the Lord. It's our time now. It's our time now. It's our time now. It's our time now. Yeah. It's our time. We better seize this moment, not let it pass us by. Hallelujah. Praise God. How you doing, Brother Austin? You're still looking like a fullback for the 49ers, like you're ready to bust through the line. May the Lord use you to bust through the line, to bust some devil's heads wide open. Amen. For the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So, let's run this race. Praise God. Okay, well, I've taken up all my time. But I believe that that dream was of the Lord. The oval with the diamonds. Pastor Lucia put this in perspective. Because what I saw was there was going to be a coming together, Christians from both sides. A coming together, pilgrims representing Christians of old, Indians, Native Americans, but born again Christians, because Billy Graham was speaking to Christian Indians when he spoke those words to them. And it's like, it's your hour, it's your time. Rise up. If you only knew what God could do with you, if you'll trust him, rise up. Coming together because there's a harvest to be reaped. There's a harvest. So it's like that separation coming together. And then she said that oval, you know, that oval was the Oval Office. And it's like, okay, even further clarity. Anybody see that rock on Melania's hand last night? It just stood out. That thing was so big, it's like you need a crane or something. I mean, it was huge on her finger. And it's not like flashy, because he's a billionaire. I believe that change in the Oval Office is about to release the greatest harvest that we have been praying for and believing God for. It's our time. It's the church's time. And if we don't seize it, it'll pass us by. And they will say, summer is gone. How does it go? Jeremiah chapter 8. Come on, y'all know I used to quote it verbatim. Yeah, you're missing a little part of it. Who has a Bible? Jeremiah chapter 8, I think it is. I would say verse 32, but I might not be right. I say a Bible because by the time this electronic stuff gets going, and we are not saved. Yes. What's the address? 820. Okay. Can you read it again, Sister Julie?
The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved.
We don't want that on our watch. We don't want the souls of sinners to have to make that statement. Summer is past. Harvest is over, and we are not saved. Because we missed our opportunity. Let's seize the moment. Amen? Let's seize the moment. I'm going to come out there. No. Let's seize this moment. Stand on your feet. Praise God. Praise God. That's Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 again, Sister Julie. Oh, they got it up there. Thank you. I was close. Hallelujah. Has everyone given? Who wants to give? Amen. This is one of our 10 grandkids. She's in the early group. She's about, what is she, number 3 in line? Or 2? Close in age. Yes. So, praise God. We got a prayer request and a praise report. You received that vision? I think it's important to share when God reveals something so that we're all on the same page. And that passage in Psalms 81, verse 10, when you read the earlier verses and even going down to the latter verses from that, it's like God was trying to get the attention of his people. And over he said, you won't listen to me. You won't listen to me. He says, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. Open up your mouth wide that I may fill it with good things. Because that's what he wants to do. But if we refuse to listen to him, then we get the other kind of talk, the kind nobody wants to hear. Stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious, disobedient children, when all he wants is us to just open up our mouths and eat what he gives us. So I felt necessary to share that with you tonight. Keep us on the same page as God keeps moving us in his direction with the wind of his spirit. Hallelujah. Because this year, 2017, 5777, the year of the sword of the Lord. It's not sword in the sense that God is issuing violence, but it's the sword of the Spirit to wage warfare in order to bring in the harvest of souls that God wants to bring in to the kingdom. Hallelujah. So, Master, we thank you. We celebrate with Ava. She prayed all day at the Girl Scouts that she would be president. Hallelujah. And at the end, she was voted in. So she is president of the Girl Scouts. We rejoice with you, Sister Ava. Congratulations. Is your inauguration day on January 20th? Well, you know, hey, we did that years ago with our youth. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we lift up this individual guard named Bob. We pray that you'll heal him. And that you will, if he's not saved, you'll save him, Lord, from this fight, from the thing that took place. He asked for prayer, so Father, we pray. We pray that he knows you. We pray that you heal him and deliver him. We pray that he has a walk with you and a walk worthy of you, and that he'll serve you all the days of his life. If he is not saved, Master, we pray that he be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, and that even as Brother Sean sees him, that, Lord God, he'll be reaching out to him to minister to him, to draw him closer to you. We thank you. We cover Bob in the precious blood of the Lamb in Jesus' mighty name. We now pray for the offerings that your sons and daughters have brought before tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the saints of God in this house, over their finances, over their families, over their possessions. We pray, Father God, that you will watch over your sons and daughters, that this will be the finest hour for them, that, Father God, if they are lacking anything, that right now you are abundantly supplying, that, Lord, you are stirring things up, shaking things up, and making things work together for their good. Father, I pray for perfect peace. I pray for wisdom, stability, knowledge, understanding. I pray, Father God, that you will watch over them. Your glory will be their rear guard. I pray that you will surround them as a wall of fire and a hedge of protection. Surround their loved ones, their children, their grandchildren, their grandparents, their parents. Surround them, Lord God. I pray that everyone in their family, all of their family members will be saved and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that none of their family members perish, but all will come to repentance. I pray the power of the blessing over each and every one of their lives, that you will bless them and bless the works of their hands, that you will keep them and guide them with your eye, that Father God, you will pour out blessing that there's no room to contain. You will shower them, Lord God, as your word declares, showers of blessings. Father God, as Melchizedek prayed over Abraham, the one who was greater prayed over the one who was lesser, and he prayed the blessing on him who had the promises. Even now, right now, for your sons and daughters, Lord God, Jesus our Savior, that right now you're ever living to make intercessions for us, we who have the promises of God, and you are stretching forth your hand over us, and you are blessing us who have the promises that they shall be fulfilled in our lives. Lord Jesus, we pray for jobs, raises, promotions, opportunities, businesses to come forth, businesses to be created, creative ideas, witty inventions, that your sons and daughters will shine as the stars in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing good will be withheld from them. No good thing shall you uphold or withhold from them, that you will cause them to see and experience the goodness of God. Father, we pray over everyone that is here, that you'll bless them and keep them and make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them and lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Name of the Lord be over them and their household, that you may bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that they may prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against them, but they will triumph over the gates of hell, because they're the church of the living God, that you'll bless the works of their hands, order their steps, direct their path, guide them with your eye. Sanctify these offerings, that they are used for your glory, for your purpose. Multiply them, and then multiply the seed that has been sown. Give bread to the eater and seed to the sower, that none shall be found lacking in this house. We will give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in the name of Jesus. Everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. And we pray that you're enjoying your life and walk in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.